Hello and welcome to Beyond the Sale, Real Estate Mastery, where we help real estate agents transform their businesses and their lives. My name is Tom Duhl.
And I'm Chris Fenton.
So Chris, thanks for coming on again. We want to kind of talk about your success and your story. Sure. So getting into my first question here, can you share the journey that led you to become the leader of the Fenton Group and what motivated you to enter the real estate sector?
Well, I entered the real estate sector sort of by accident. It's the family business for me. So that part's not too exciting. I didn't intend to be a real estate agent, but here we are. The journey that led me here was the same journey that all of you will take if you'd end up building a team or a brokerage. I started out as an individual agent for a very short period of time and learned how to be a salesperson. And that's a big part of the game. But then you have to figure out where you're going to find business from. That was step two. And then it was once you have developed business, once you have business coming in, you have predictable revenue from that business, you have the sales skills, it was how do we scale this? How do we add more people? And that, for me, led me back to university where I got a degree in business. Don't care about the degree, cared about the information that I got reading all those books. And that allowed me to go out and start to build out the infrastructure that you need. Now, you don't need a business degree to do this. There's many, many top agents that don't have one. The information is available to anybody. But it's the next step is building the foundation of systems and people, administrative, lead generation, marketing, that allows you to have way more business than you need.
Yeah.
Then going out and adding business salespeople to fulfill that need, and then training them, making sure that they're providing the same level of service that you're providing or a similar level. That was my journey. I think that's a true journey for a lot of top producing agents. Start out and fulfill a need, figure out what the next step is, and it brings you here.
And having a desire to grow and become better and
bring
people along with you to let them grow and let them
totally
experience.
If you're watching this podcast or you're listening to this podcast, you probably have that in you, right? So that's a key ingredient.
So looking back at your 20 years of experience, what were the key mindset shifts that you had to make to transition from being a successful real estate agent to being the 1% team?
Yeah, so the successful mind shifts is kind of along that same story. It was, I'm serving clients. I'm learning to serve clients really well. Okay, that's a mindset. That's takes a lot out of you to become a really good individual agent. Now, the next mind shift for most of us is, how do I bring somebody on, usually an administrative assistant, to help me grow my business and not lose control of the excellence that I've built into the systems? And that's a big mindset shift, letting go of that control.
And trusting somebody.
Trusting someone else to do it their way or do it your way, a version of your way. I think that stops a lot of really good agents from taking that next step.
Yeah.
So that was a mindset shift. The next one would be now you're adding a bunch of people and you're no longer a real estate agent. You're a leader now. So what does it mean to put other people's needs ahead of your own? What does it mean to look at the greater good of the most amount of people?
You're also taking on the responsibility. Now you're also responsible for these people and their livelihoods.
Yeah, that's a heavy weight.
Yeah.
For sure. But that's the big one, is the mindset of putting other people's needs first and accepting. Here's another one. Accepting that you can't make everyone happy. You have a decision to make that affects five people in your company. Not all five of them are going to agree with your decision. Maybe none of them do, but maybe you know it's the best thing for everybody in the long run. These are mindset shifts that have to occur along the way.
Yeah, fair enough. So what are the core habits and routines that you believe in that are essential for anybody in the real estate industry to cultivate in order to achieve a long-term success?
Core habits. Self-discipline. So the biggest one is self-discipline. If you look at any top producing real estate agent's phone, if you grab their phone out of their hand and you go into their calendar, you're going to find a structured calendar. If you grab the phone out of kind of an average real estate agent's hand, you're not going to find that same level of structure in their calendar. So success comes from repeating the same things over and over again on scale. The little things you do, doing them really well, that's probably one of the biggest core habits. I'm going to say another really important core habit is personal development, and this one took me a little while to figure out, but spending hours each day working on you, not working on your business, not working on your clients, but working on you, taking care of yourself so that you can be at your best. I think that's just absolutely critical. And if I could change anything in my history, it would be to have started that way. Mm-hmm. And then other core habits is, I think, putting your clients' needs ahead of your own, your moods, no matter what happens. I had a great coach that told me, Chris, whenever you pick up the phone, say to yourself in your head, showtime.
Yeah.
Right. So you can be in the middle of something that's not fun, that, you know, you have a problem, you're putting out a fire, mm-hmm. and then a client phones and they need to talk to you right now about something else entirely. You're going to have this natural human instinct to go, wow, I really don't want to take this phone call. So clear your mind, showtime, and be helpful.
And be helpful. Yeah. Providing that value. How do you approach goal settings and planning, and how has this approach evolved over the years?
Yeah. I remember when I went to university and they taught goal setting, I sat in the back row because that's kind of who I was and thought, man, this is stupid. Like,
I think everybody who has new goals for the first time thinks it's stupid.
This is stupid. We're going to write down a 5-year plan and then we're going to make it happen. So how did it evolve? Well, I realized that it works, mm-hmm. that it works like magic. So what we do is we take our big goal. Actually, we don't take our big goal. Let's leave the big goal, the 5-year goal or whatever. Let's talk about the 1-year goal. How much money do you want to make as a real estate agent? Yeah. Let's start with that.
How many ends do you want to do?
How much money do you want to make? Yeah. And then you break that down into, okay, what's the roadmap to get there? So how many ends is the next question. How many ends, how many sales do I need in order? So what's my average commission? How many sales would I need to make that X amount of money? Say I want to make $200,000 and it's $10,000 a commission. That's 20 deals, right? So I was doing the math. That was easy math. It's 20 deals. So now I know how many deals I need for the year.
Yeah.
I need to know how many appointments I need to go on. How many people do I need to meet, or how many showings do I need? However you want to measure that. You want to break this down into things that you can control. Mm-hmm. So how many appointments do I need to go on? What I would actually do first is, how many offers do I need to get accepted? Because we have a collapse rate. But to not get too granular, how many showings do I need to go on? How many calls do I need to make to get those showings if you're doing lead gen? And break that down from the yearly goal to the controllable goal, appointments and lead generation calls. Those are the two things you can do. And then break that down into a weekly goal. And you know what? When you follow that weekly goal and you hit those weekly goals, you know what happens? You make your $200,000 mm-hmm. every time.
Yeah.
So how did it evolve over the years? Well, we started that way. That's a sales goal. Over the years, our goals evolved so that we have goals for the entire business, for every part of the business: lead generation, lead conversion, sales, finance, everything, marketing, the whole works. And I think the biggest thing, the coolest thing that ever happened to me, when I figured out that at the end of the year, we can look and see where our sales came from, and we can put it on a chart. Like, we got this many sales from past clients, repeat business, this many from past client referral business, this many from our website. And then we could put a monetary value on that, and we knew where our business came from. We then would say, okay, we want to grow by this amount of deals a year. Mm-hmm. Which areas are we going to grow in?
Yeah.
And then we adjust our budget for the next year to put more money and more effort, time and money, into those areas. And it is magic. Every single year, almost every single year, the exception of really crazy market turns, mm-hmm. we would change these few areas, 3 or 4 areas in the business, and we'd hit them. We'd be within one sale by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Like, it's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So in terms of mindset, what do you think separates the top performing real estate agents from the rest?
Wanting to learn. I think it's wanting to learn. Yeah. I think it's wanting to get better. There's a whole bunch of things I could say. I could talk about positivity. I could talk about work ethic, but I think at the end of the day, top performing agents are always looking at better ways to serve their clients, better ways to meet more clients.
Better ways to use their time efficiently.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's maybe a different topic, but that's a huge part of this whole process too, is, and you talked about the growing from being an individual agent to running a business. Mm-hmm. And that's the evolution is, what am I doing right now that I could hire somebody else to do?
Yeah.
What is that jobs that I'm doing that aren't making the most amount of money? They aren't making the biggest impact on my business. They aren't making the biggest impact on my clients. Can I hire someone to take that off my plate so I could spend my time doing these higher performing activities? And that's the same litmus test you go through every time you hire somebody. What do I need to hire for next? Okay, well, what am I doing? You know, at some point it becomes, what is my manager doing? What can we take off their plate? But that's really how you do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Can you discuss some significant changes the Fenton Group faced and how you overcame it through strategically thinking and mindset adjustments?
Do you want to talk about the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there was a moment in our lives, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely scary for everybody.
Yeah, and we didn't know. So really interesting thing about the pandemic. So we all look back at the pandemic and it wasn't as scary as it was at the moment. But let's just all remember for a moment what it felt like in that moment when this virus was coming to kill us and we just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And there was photos of bodies in the streets and it was craziness. Well, you're running a real estate business and nobody wants to be in physical contact with anybody else. Mm-hmm. That's
showing stop, people close their homes.
Bit of a problem, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then the government comes out and says, well, you're an essential service. And we're like, that's fantastic. We're an essential service, but our clients don't want to come outside.
Yeah. And they're not allowed to travel. So how are they supposed to come here to look at houses?
So how did we strategically shift? Well, we all know how it shifted out now. We can go back and look at hindsight, but the really forward thinkers, and I would like to say we were among them, sat down and very quickly figured this out. So one of the first things we did was we changed our slogan. This might seem like a small thing, but we changed our slogan to "We sell homes virtually."
Yes.
And we plastered it everywhere.
Yes.
We can help sell houses virtually. That was the answer that anyone that wanted to sell a house was looking for. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was a marketing change. But then we went out and our ISAs, our inside salespeople, kept calling. We didn't react and lay people off. We didn't react in any significant way. Our ISAs kept calling. Our agents, we encouraged our agents to keep calling. And you know what happened? You do know what happened.
Yeah, because I was the ISA.
You want to know what happened? We got to talk to way more people than we ever had before.
Absolutely.
Because what? Everybody was at home.
Everybody was at home. And everybody wanted to talk. And our opening line was like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
It was not like, you know, you're still looking for a house. It was, how are you doing? How are you making out? And a lot of the clients were people who we have touched in the past. And then we built more rapport for them over the time.
Totally.
And then when they were ready, who did they call? Right.
And that's what happened. So then we're allowed to show houses again. Well, guess what? Our pipeline is full of people. Mm-hmm. This is all strategic thinking and doing things deliberately. Taught our agents in that downtime how to use Zoom and how to do virtual showings. It's all easy stuff now. But, you know, Zoom was the sphere of Star Trek back at the beginning of the pandemic.
And luckily for like our business was that we were already sort of doing that because we had done some virtual sales. I even as an ISA have gone out and did a virtual tour with clients who couldn't before the pandemic. So when it came, we hit the ground running.
But that's strategic too, because we're ahead of the technology curve, right?
Yeah.
And we always try to be ahead of the technology curve and that helps. But those are how we use strategic thinking to identify problems, not come from a place of fear, but come from a place of opportunity. And I think that's a great story.
Yeah, and I know a lot of agents shut down. They're like, we're not going to do any sales, we're not going to do anything, and kind of disappeared for a year.
Best year we ever had after that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So carry on here. So what role do you think personal development plays in a real estate agent's success?
Okay, well, I talked about this a little bit, but I let's get into it in a little more detail. I think personal development plays every role in your success. I say, and you've heard me say this, Tom, that the 2 hours I spend working on myself every day are my most important 2 hours of the day. To be performing at a high level, I think the public, you're not the public, you guys are all agents that are listening to this or watching this, but the public doesn't understand the stress that we're under and the high pace that we're under. To be at your best, to be able to run this marathon that is a year in real estate sales, and then to reset and run the marathon back to back, and then to do it 20 times in a row, it takes a lot out of you. So for me, my personal development is exercise, sleep. Starts with sleep.
Sleep, yes.
Sleep is the most important thing that any of us need to perform physically or mentally. Then it's exercise. For me, it's meditation. People might say breath work, meditation, whatever you want to call it. Diet, all of this stuff. And then learning is a big part of my daily development. And if you're not learning new things about your business and how you're and perfecting your craft, then you're stagnating. And that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. So is it important? It's if you do one, if you take one thing out of what I say, that's the thing to take away.
Absolutely. So carrying on with that, what advice would you give a new real estate agent today who are just starting out and looking to make a mark in his industry?
Hire an assistant. So weird thing to say, right?
Yeah. just starting out and have no money and hire an assistant.
Really, really quick. So, okay. So let's back it up. Run your business like a business. Mm-hmm. Set up a bank account to run your commissions through. Do not run them through your personal bank account. Set up, even if you're not running as a corporation, you're running in as the sole proprietor, an individual, set up a bank account for your business, deposit all of your commission into that, and then treat it with have a budget for it. You pay yourself out of that, however much you need to get paid, and at least in the beginning, and then the rest of it is for saving, investing, reinvesting in your business. Run it like a business. And very quickly, you're going to need an assistant. So the things that drive me crazy are real estate agents that have been in the business for 15 years that are doing all kinds of sales, and they're still doing their own paperwork. Because especially the ones that are so busy that they're like, they can't keep up with mm-hmm. the business. Mm-hmm. And the reason that people do
Their paperwork starts getting sloppy. And
yeah. And the reason they're doing it is because they're, well, they don't think they can slow down to hire somebody. And that is a challenge. Or they don't think someone else can do it as well as them. Well, here's the thing. If you're a great salesperson, I guarantee you're terrible at administrative work. Never found a great real estate agent that was a great admin. It's a different personality. Yeah. You're going to find someone that can do it better than you and free you up.
And as a managing broker, I see everybody's paperwork. I can agree with that.
Might be true.
100%.
So do it early. Don't make it part of your plan. And then, you know, from there I can give all kinds of advice, but that's my...
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a bit more about some success stories. Some success stories with the company. Impact from positive mindset. What are some successes you've had with positive mindset? That's what I'm trying to get at.
That's a really interesting question. My answer might be a little bit out there, but I'm going to preface it by saying the biggest problem in real estate is the wave. Mm-hmm. So this is what a typical real estate agent's business looks like. They do a bunch of deals and then they're scrambling around trying to keep the deals together, do the administrative work and whatever. And then next thing you know, they're sitting there going, what do I do? I'm dead in the water. And then blah, 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 blah. They work. They find new people to work with and they go up. Positive mindset. Well, how does it affect the wave? I have a really strong feeling, a really strong sense that the more positive attitude you bring to something, the more opportunities present themselves to you. And I've seen so many times where a real estate agent is struggling to get some deals together. They're in what we call the slump. And we start working on mindset and we start working on, you know, you'll even hear them say things like, oh, I got an offer in on my listing, but it's not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just these little indicators that the mindset has shifted into a place of
negativity.
And we work on that and we shift that out. And as soon as we shift that out, they take off again. See it time and time again. I can't quantify it. I can't prove it, but I'm 100% convinced it's true.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people manifest their own misery, right?
I think you manifest your own success.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think both ways. Yeah, I think that's the that's another difference between top producers and not top producers is when I get a deal on an offer and on my listing, I'm getting that sucker together.
Like, mm-hmm. do everything possible.
I'll be surprised if it doesn't go together.
Yeah.
Never surprised that it does.
Yeah. Fair enough. How do you stay ahead of the curve in terms of real estate trends and technologies, and how important is that for your business strategy?
So how important that is to our business strategy? It's mm-hmm. everything. The world's changing so quickly. It's absolutely everything. How do I stay ahead of it? How do we stay ahead of it? Two things, reading and other people. So if you want to be successful in business, you should be reading. If you polled all the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, I guarantee you they are all reading multiple books at the same time and reading every day.
Well, their managements are as well, right? Their department leads, you know, how does it affect their department? Always wanting to grow that department.
Totally.
New technologies and implementing new features, maybe with the technologies you're already using.
Just above it. 100%. So that's reading. But then the next one is there's all these people in the industry that are experts. There's experts in marketing. There's experts. So the simple answer is I go to real estate conferences and I listen to these people talk. I mastermind with other agents. The better the agent, the better, more I want to mastermind with them. Mm-hmm. Everyone's trying to get better. When you're in this world, everyone's trying to get better. They're looking for an edge. You start listening to what they're doing as an edge, and then you run it through your filter of, does this work for my business? You got to be careful of not chasing every new shiny toy.
Yeah.
Because I did that for the first 5 years.
I think everybody does that.
That doesn't get you anywhere. but you figure out the really big changes. You know, AI comes out. How can we use AI? That one's going to mean it make a difference. So mm-hmm. let's get ahead of this. So I didn't learn AI. I learned how to use AI from people that learned AI.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. As and we were talking about the pandemic and when Zoom came out and all that stuff and how to utilize that. Like that was very important to stay ahead of that trend and get on it, learn how to use it. So you're using it while everyone else is still trying to figure it out and you've already masterminded it. The most common piece of advice that you find giving yourself to real estate agents and why? To new real estate agents.
To new real estate agents? Well, how would any real estate
agent? I think we already talked about that.
Time blocking. Managing your time. We are so reactive as human beings and salespeople are particularly reactive. So mm-hmm. time blocking is when we set our schedule up, and we did talk about this a little bit, but we set our schedule up deliberately how we want to spend our time, and we protect the things that are really important that we never seem to have time to do. Mm-hmm. So if you're a solo agent, your bottleneck is probably finding new clients.
Yeah,
lead generation. So you put in your calendar lead generation every day, twice a week, whatever it is, and no matter what happens, you protect that. If a client calls and says, I want to see houses, you say, well, I can't show you between 10 and 2 because I have another commitment. How about 3 o'clock? You mm-hmm. treat it like you would if it was a showing for another client. It's yeah. just non-negotiable. Yeah. I don't book over that.
Yeah. And most of the time they'll decide that, yeah, they have no issues with that, right? They understand everybody's time is valuable.
No, they don't know what you're doing.
And it helps prevent that wave you were talking about earlier, right? Where you know, you're doing concentrating, you're doing all the showings, but you're not doing your lead gen. And once you've sold all those clients' homes, you have no lead gen and no one else to pick up. Yeah. So you're help alleviate that.
Totally. And it's all based on this 80-20 rule. It's like 20% of our activity creates 80% of our momentum or our wealth or our sales or whatever it is. What are these 20% of things that I should be doing and how can I spend more time doing them? Time mm-hmm. blocking, I talk about hiring to get stuff off your plate, but time blocking is certainly a big one.
Absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree with that. So we were kind of touching on this, but in your experience, how important is balancing between professional drive and personal well-being? And how do you manage this?
This is an important one to me. My old man was a pretty important figure in my life, and he worked all the time. So I grew up with this dad that was, you know, he taught me honesty and hard work and all of these things that are so important, but he wasn't around a lot.
Our dads work together, so yeah. same situation, yeah. shift workers, and either they're sleeping or working.
Yeah, 100%. So I made a decision when my kids were born that the most important thing in my life was to be there for everything. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important. I think this is the thing that most real estate agents struggle with. And this is why hiring is so important and setting boundaries for yourself is so important. I've sold 60 to 70 houses in a year doing listings 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. So think about that. That's mm-hmm. a lot of sales to do in 20 hours a week. And I was home to my kids at 5 o'clock and I was home every weekend. Mm-hmm. And so that could absolutely be done. I think you, you know, this is, I don't remember which coach it was. It might've been Rich Robbins. Somebody said, build a business that supports your life, not a life that supports your business. Something like that, I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. Like, what is it you're trying to accomplish? If it's just to have professional drive and win awards or fill up a bank account, you're going to blink one day and go, wow, my life is over. And what did I accomplish? Mm-hmm. So I like to drive hard. You know as well as anybody, I'm hard driving. We're pushing myself, pushing everyone around me. But I like to play hard too. I think everybody should have an activity that they're passionate about that takes them away from the office, mm-hmm. Puts them in that sense of flow where the time stands still and they're just so preoccupied with what they're doing that they're living in that moment. I think you need that to regenerate. So mm-hmm. family, passion. Yeah, I think you need to balance all of it.
Do it from the beginning because we see a lot of seasoned agents just learning that now.
Oh, and guilt, right? There's so much guilt in it. Your clients will call you 100 times a day, every day, if you
allow it.
I don't know, allow, if you set it up that way. And so agents get to the, I call it the rabbit hole. You get down in the rabbit hole and you feel like we need to be available. Nobody can do this as well. If I go on vacation, who's going to possibly handle my clients as well as I am?
Yeah.
It's easy to fall in that trap. For me, it's all about setting expectations with clients. I tell them flat out when they list with me, my office hours are 9 to 5, Monday to Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I will always be there for you when we need to negotiate a sale. I will always be available. If it's a code red, I'm there. But outside of those hours, I want you to feel free to call me. Call my cell phone anytime. If I don't answer, leave me a message. If you tell me that this is a code red, I'm going to call you back. If it's not a code red, I'm going to call you back in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them it's because I have kids and a family and never had a trouble with it. And most of them don't call in the evening.
Yeah. The homework life is important even for real estate agents.
For everybody.
So last question for today in this episode. Looking to the future, what are your inspirations for the Fenton Group and how do you plan to achieve them?
What is my big audacious hairy goal?
I'd love taking over the world, you know.
Yeah, I'd love to have the, we're not a real estate team, we're a real estate sub brokerage or brokerage. I'd love to have the top producing sub brokerage in the country. I would love for loyalhomes.ca, our platform, to have amazing agents everywhere. Now, what does that mean to me? It means that I would love to help dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of real estate agents change their lives, change the way they do business, create incredible wealth for themselves, and just change their lives. So that's my big hairy goal for us.
Okay, well, thank you again, Chris. That is the end of our episode today. Looking forward to seeing you guys all next time.